This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
The FPL Shakespeare is taking a week off this week as we are recording late night Monday. The final whistle is just blown between Liverpool and Arsenal. It was 3-1 to Liverpool. Welcome to the 54th episode of Triple Captain. Just to remind everybody, we are Triple Captain at Triple Captain 3 on Instagram and Twitter. My name is Luke Jurdy. I'm an FPL obsessed actor, and my co-host is, of course, Rich Wolfenden.
TalkSport commentator and semi-professional fantasy football player. That's what I'm going to go with. I don't get paid in any sense, really, so not really semi-professional. No, amateur fantasy football player. We'll go with that.
I'd say you've stepped up to semi-pro this year.
Yeah, if anyone wants to sign me, I'm available for full-time contracts. So just putting that out there. How was your game week?
Well, I mean, what an absolutely mad game week. I mean, most people on Twitter have gone into absolute meltdown. It seems like there's been so many bad game weeks amongst the community, which perhaps it could be one of our talking points, actually being influenced by FPL Twitter and making your choices based on that, because it seems like a lot of people on Twitter and part of the community have got the same players, and the same players have all failed this week. I am absolutely delighted with 69 points this week.
That's so good.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy with that. I took a minus four, which didn't actually work out. I didn't need to do it in the end because I took out Aubameyang for Sterling, who obviously only got two, and I took out Sam Maximan for the mighty Trezeguet, who got three. So 5 points between them. Minus four would be 1 point, wouldn't it? But Aubameyang would have got two. So, it's kind of okay. But I needed to get Sam Maximam out of my team. So, yeah, 69 points. So, obviously, with a minus four, that's 65. I feel like I've won the jackpot, really, with that score, considering some of the others around. It's took me right up to, I think, my live rank at the moment, according to Fantasy Football Fix, is about 160K.
That's a good start, that.
So, I'm really, really pleased. I didn't pull the trigger on the wild card just yet because I thought I was doing okay, and stuck with my players. Danny Ings is just an absolute joy to own.
Every time I see him score, I think Luke's going to be so smug on the next podcast.
I was dancing around my fiance's parents' kitchen going, Danny Ings. When he scored in the first 5 minutes, didn't he? And I mean, to be fair, I've had a bit of luck this week as well. I mean, stuck with Bruno, and obviously the 99th minute penalty that was given after the final whistle got a huge 12 points from him. Callum Wilson got a 97th minute penalty.
Unbelievable.
Which got me 8 points. Salah captain, a little bit disappointed with Salah tonight, but he got his assist, so that was 10. And TAA and Robbo, what did I say?
They combined again for you once more. I mean, when you see a right back cross it for a left back to finish it, that it's like it's made for FPL.
Pure joy. And it looks like TAA's set for 3 bonus points. Robbo's set for 2 bonus points. So I've got 7 from TAA, 10 from Robbo.
Very nice.
Walker-Peters with a lovely 6. Southampton somehow keeping a clean sheet. And yeah, we spoke about Sterling and Trezeguet. I was so happy with Trezeguet getting 3 points, to be honest, considering my other choice, Podence, I didn't put him in the end. And again, got lucky as he got injured, and which we didn't really know about until right before. Might have even been after the deadline. So
you need a little bit of luck. Remember last season when I missed that game week when I was going to take Kane out and he went and banged 2 goals? You need a little bit of luck in your season. So who knows? This might be one of your lucky turns.
Yeah, it's great so far. I'm not sure what my total points are, but I think I'm on about an average of 65 or 66 points per game week, which is exactly where I want to be. So I'm really, really pleased with that. What about you?
Yeah, I had an all right game week. I think with the bonus points for, you say you'll get 3, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, so he should be on 7, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll take me up to a nice round 50. So that has me pretty high above the average.
Great for this again, week, that score.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty happy with that. But I think I'm so surprised because my team, it's not really performed particularly well. I brought in Richarlison this game week. I was saying, wasn't I, in the last episode, like, he's going to bang, he's due a goal. He got two in the League Cup against, who was it we played? Anyway, he got two in midweek against Fleetwood in the League Cup. And I thought, you know what, he's going to carry that over into the Premier League. And thankfully, we got a dodgy VAR penalty, another one, probably about the one of four this weekend, something like that. And yeah, with Sigurdsson not being a starter anymore under Ancelotti, it looks as if Richarlison's probably going to be our first choice penalty taker, which is pretty interesting to see. And yeah, he banged from the spot. McCarthy in goal, getting me a clean sheet. I was desperate to get him out, and then he repays me with a lovely clean sheet. But I decided on this occasion that Kyle Walker-Peters needed to sit on the bench. So I've got Kyle Walker-Peters with a nice big six sat on the bench. The rest of the defence, Mitchell got me one, Taylor got me two, Van Dijk got me two, but Trent got me four. Oh, seven, sorry, with his bonus points, so he's done all right. The midfield, Havertz randomly getting an assist. Don't know where the hell that came from. He's still got a place in my team. I can't believe he's still in my squad. So yeah, Havertz got me five. Salah with the armband got me 10. And then Kane, again, with another assist. I think last season, Kane only got two assists in the whole season. This year, he's already got five, which is mental. He's turned into the Christian Eriksen of Spurs all of a sudden. But yeah, a nice, solid overall 50 points. So Harry's big night out. Still doing pretty well. The points, I haven't updated for the overall rank yet, but I'm sat 690,000. So it's all right. It might improve.
You should have a nice green with 50 points, Rich. I mean, I've just seen my rank. For anybody that doesn't know, you can check your live rank on livefpl.net/rank. And you put your ID in, and they give you a very accurate rank, to be fair. I've gone up about 500,000-600,000 places, I think.
Flipping egg, so good.
So before auto subs come in, I mean, I've just snuck into the top 150k. So I presume I'll be just outside it once the auto subs happen, because a lot of people had podents who will be they'll have people off the bench for that. But yeah, so I presume, Rich, you'll probably be around the 300k mark with 50.
All right, nice.
Something like that, I reckon.
I'll take that.
I mean, we've somehow avoided this horrendous, horrendous game week. Have you avoided it, Ben?
No.
So you played wild card, didn't you?
Sorry, hello, I'm Ben. I produce this podcast. And
Yeah, you had a bad week last week, didn't you? Didn't you get like 20-something points last week, so you needed to hit the wild card?
Week. Yeah, and I'm glad I did. I got 38 points this week, which isn't great, but I'm still glad I played the wild card, because what a crazy week. I mean, I'm just looking at the table now, and I know that Man City and Man United have still got another game to play, but even if they win that game, it's going to take, you know, in terms of goal differences as well, you look at the table, I mean, Villa have played two games and we're in fourth. Like, first of all, that's nuts. The only team, by the way, to have not conceded a goal in the Premier League season 2021 so far.
Oh, right. So when you put in our chat before, I thought you meant this weekend, and I was like...
No, because we beat Sheffield United 1-0 last week.
Ah, right, okay.
But you look at it, and you talk about luck. I'm sorry, yeah. Like, Wolves are 16th, and that's playing three games. Jimenez, lots of people captained Jimenez this week.
Yeah, he got an own point.
Yeah, and I saw one person triple captain Jimenez, and it made me feel a lot better about my own game week.
What was the logic with going for... I've seen a lot of people with three Wolves players in their team. So what was the logic for that? Because of their good fixtures, I guess. Yeah.
That's exactly what I've done. So I brought in... I bought in three Wolves players, but I bought in Patricio, I bought in Saïss, and I bought in Podence. Now, Patricio and Saïss are left on the bench because I bought them to basically rotate with Villa defenders. I've got Konza and I've got Martinez for Villa. And I just kind of had that feeling. I was like, you know what? All last week, there was reports coming out that there was Wolves injuries, and that I texted you boys, didn't I, to our WhatsApp group saying it could be a calamity at the back or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just had that feeling that because there's so much kind of insecurity around who was going to start, especially at the back for Wolves, that they weren't going to have a good game. But I mean, look, their fixtures, I wouldn't worry about Wolves because they've got Fulham next, who against Villa look just absolutely dreadful tonight. Then they've got Leeds, then Newcastle, Crystal Palace, then they've got Leicester, Southampton, Arsenal and Liverpool. So there's a tricky few weeks there. But then again, you know, it turns all right for them. So I think Wolves have got good fixtures, and I wouldn't worry too much about if you have got loads of Wolves players in. But that's what I mean. Like, you can't... Jimenez getting an own... Wolves getting beat 4-0.
That was mental. That was absolutely mental. I mean, obviously FPL does this thing, doesn't it, where when you click on the fixtures, it gives you like a green, a grey, a pink, or like a dark red to say how difficult the fixture is. But like Crystal Palace at home for Wolves in 4 weeks' time is down as an easy game for them. But Crystal Palace have been in great form. That's not an easy game at all. So do not trust the FPL colour system at all.
No, you're absolutely right, Rich. I mean, there's quite a few good people out there that have done different... you can get them on different websites and different fixture trackers where they're a lot more accurate in terms of, what the teams are like. I think the FPL one is very basic, isn't it? And I mean, look, I can understand why people wildcarded and went for three Wolves. What I don't really understand is using three of your midfield spots on Sterling, De Bruyne and Phil Foden. I get that there's no Pep rotation at the moment, and this comment might completely come back and bite me on the arse, but I just think it's too much of a risk having, if they have an off game, which they clearly did against Leicester, you're going to miss out on a lot of points because you're not including any of the other premium midfielders.
I'm sorry though, but you could never have predicted that. Like, who would have thought that Jamie Vardy would go on and get a hat trick against Man City, and then they go on and end up scoring, what was the final score, 5-2?
You can never predict
Man City, the team that have absolutely destroyed everyone they've come up against in however so long. And
but they haven't, though, they haven't destroyed everybody in so long. They lost more games than Man United last season. I mean, there's a real blind kind of faith in these City assets, to load up on the City assets. And I know I'm saying this with complete hindsight because they've just lost to Leicester, but to get three of them in, I've been stung by that before, haven't I, last season when I had Aguero, De Bruyne and Sterling all at once. And they never played together. All three of them never even played together.
But you know what, though? If you hit, like, on a different week, that person who'd put all three of them in would have come back with over 100 points. Because, you know, let's start off at the start of the fixtures this week. Brighton should have beaten Man United. I think we can all agree that. First of all, a bit of kind of random luck. How the hell did Bruno get a penalty after the whistle's blown?
And they hit the woodwork 5 times.
The Trossbar. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Then you look at other fixtures. Who would have thought that West Brom would have scored 3 goals against Chelsea and so early? West Brom scored 3 goals in 27 minutes. It's just crazy stuff. Like the fact that Spurs, having gone, absolutely trounced, who was it the week before?
Southampton.
And then they draw at home to Newcastle. West Ham winning 4-0.
And David Moyes was managing via Zoom, by the way.
You're joking.
He wasn't there. He's got coronavirus.
I honestly feel like this season so far is just completely and utterly nuts, and that you make the best choices. This is a long-winded way of going back to my wild card and saying I actually made some very sensible choices for my wild card.
Yeah.
And crazy results mean that it hasn't paid off for me yet.
No, I fully understand that. When it's a crazy season, just go with your gut feeling.
Yeah, it has been mad.
It might well pay off.
It has been mad. Yeah, I just wouldn't put all my eggs in just two teams. I'm not saying that you've done this, Ben, because I don't think you have. But I know I've seen quite a few teams with like triple Wolves, triple City. That's half your team on just two teams. And I do think you should think more about balance than going for three players from one team. But then I say that, like you said, Wolves are playing Fulham next weekend. I mean, that could be 4-5-0 Jimenez hat trick, and then everybody's happy again, aren't they? So, but you
at the Molyneux, you can see
you just can't predict game weeks like this game week. It was crazy, and everything seemed to go in my favour, which was mad.
That's like the story of the season, though, isn't it? Like, you're gonna have game weeks like this where it goes.
Yeah, you're gonna have bad ones. Yeah,
all your players score, all your players get clean sheets, and then other weeks we're just gonna have twos and ones across the board, and it happens. But you just gotta, enjoy it while it lasts, whilst you're having these good weekends.
Yeah, I just think you're spreading the risk in a way.
Yeah.
If you have a bit more balance than three from one team, three from another team, two from another team, it's like you're relying on three teams to do well every single game week, and you're spreading that risk a bit more if you have a few from different teams. But then again, the rewards are huge if you know, City trounce someone 5-6-0 and De Bruyne assists a load of Sterling goals and Foden gets involved as well and Mahrez is involved, you know, suddenly it's like, oh my God, I'm in dreamland. So I do understand it as well. It's just a bit more risky, I think.
Yeah, and City are one of those teams that do, when they lose, bounce back, usually with a trouncing or something like that. So
and they've got Leeds. They've got Leeds next. So, you know, City have got Leeds. Wolves have got Fulham. Like, all of you people that have had a bad week, you could be right back up there next week.
So what are we going to talk about today then?
I don't know.
I'd quite like to talk about Manchester City.
Okay, great.
Because I think I saw three academy lads on their bench. I mean, Rory Delap's son was playing, which made me feel extremely old, by the way.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's invested his like long throwing talents. I wonder if Man City will become the new Stoke, just start chucking the ball into Ricardo Fuller. And then they had, anyway, so they had Delap on the bench. I think they had someone, Cole, who was squad number, was number 80, which just shows like how many players they've got out injured at the moment. And then they had another young lad on the bench as well. I can't remember his name. But Manchester City, who this side with like incredible riches, were able to pay their way out of a fine for financial unfair play, which is just insane. But they haven't got enough to fill a bench with proper first 11 players. It's just absolutely crazy. But I think this means that there's probably going to be less risk of the Pep rotation, right? Which is the downfall of everybody's FPL team who's got a Manchester City players in them.
Can we talk about clean sheets as well? Not just because Villa are the only team to have not conceded a goal in the Premier League so far, but just in terms of defensive assets and who to get in. Like, with, you know, the week before this being a record for how many goals are scored in a weekend, not far off it this weekend. Like, can we talk about which defenders should we be getting in, bearing in mind that clean sheets don't seem to be very prevalent this season?
Yeah. Should we have them as our two topics then?
Clean sheets as well. Yeah, definitely. And we'll do some Twitter questions as well. They're just a few have just come in. Great.
What do you think with City then? Because they've obviously got so few options at the moment. Both their recognised strikers, Aguero and Jesus, are going to be out injured. But what do you do? Sterling, is he a must now? Because he's going to be leading the line. Do you bring in Mahrez? Do you bring in Foden? He's only 6.5 million. I'm thinking about bringing him in this week. Do you reckon that'll be a worthwhile move?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like if there is going to be a time where there isn't as much rotation, it's possibly going to be now, isn't it? I mean, who have they got? Has their new signings played any games yet? Torres, surely he's lurking in the wings, ready to have a game, ready to take Foden's place off him.
He's not started a game in the league yet. I think he might have played in the League Cup, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's quite Premier League ready yet. But you know, if they've not got players to play, they're going to have to give him a go, aren't they? You know, they spent a load of money on him, and they might just throw him in. But I don't really know what he's going to offer this Manchester City team. I don't really know too much about Ferran Torres, to be honest.
I mean, after that Leicester game, I mean, I'm not. I've got Sterling, and I'll be holding him. I'll probably captain him, to be honest, against Leeds. So I'm pretty happy with him. But I'm not. Foden would be an interesting choice as well at 6.5 million.
Yeah,
you know, could be great value as part of that front three. But I'm not rushing to get more of them in. I mean, I'm happy with just how my team looks anyway going forward for the next few fixtures. So I'm not rushing to get them in. But I completely understand people going, get De Bruyne, get Sterling, get Foden, get Mahrez. You know, they're not going to be rotated as much. You just never know with Pep, do you? I'd hate to sit here and go, well, then they're definitely not going to get rotated, and then he'll pull something.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got to be another season where, again, you just do not consider Manchester City defensive assets just because they look so ropey. I mean, every penalty they gave away was ridiculous, for one, but they just don't seem to be able to defend as a unit. I mean, even with, like, did Laporte play at the weekend? I don't think he did he?
But no, they need him back badly. Yeah, they need him back badly, don't they? I think once he's back, then they might improve. But
even like Mendy and Walker, who are meant to be like the attacking options out wide, like they don't look bothered like at all. Like, it must be so frustrating being a Manchester City fan. I know they don't have full houses when they play at home, but even like playing in front of like a little bit of a crowd is going to G on that Manchester City side, and I think maybe they might be missing that a little bit at the moment. Like, most teams in the Premier League don't seem to really be bothered by it, but Manchester City maybe more so than others.
And what about Jamie Vardy getting a hat trick? I bet you wish you'd put him in your game week one team, Ben, instead of Werner, which was the original plan, wasn't it?
It was. I think, you know, you've said it time and time again. Vardy always delivers. For me, I would love to have him in, but it just every time I ever have him in is when he seems to just go off the boil. And it's just, it's a bit like Son. I always choose Son at the wrong time. I think, just think about Man City. Like, Pep has been moaning, hasn't he, all over the weekend about how close the fixtures are and he's only got 13 fit players. Like, don't forget, they're playing Leeds on Saturday, but they've got Burnley in the cup on Wednesday. So, you know, it's not an easy fixture, is that, Burnley at Turf Moor?
Definitely not.
For the cup. And, you know, I think it's a difficult time to pick City players.
I mean, I'm considering Foden because I think he has just as much attacking threat as Kevin De Bruyne, and he's almost like half the price, I think.
He's definitely got an eye
for goal, and he's trying to prove himself, like you say. He's young, isn't he? So
he could start, fitness wise he could start every game if he needed to.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he's a late 20s 30 something player who, you know, sorry boss, I really need a rest. Yeah. You know, he's going to want to start every single game, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you've got De Bruyne or Sterling in your team now, like, I wouldn't take them out, but I'm not really in a rush to get either of those premium midfielders into my team. Maybe Mahrez, I suppose, but he doesn't really excite me in any kind of way. I think Foden is arguably the key player to bring in if you're going to bring in a City player for this game week.
That's mad, isn't it?
Let's put it this way. I've got one free transfer this week. I'm thinking of taking a -4, but my one free transfer, it's going to be a toss-up between either Foden coming in or Havertz staying in. What would you rather do? Because Havertz has looked pretty woeful.
Who will you be taking out for... Havertz out for Foden?
Yeah, that's what I'd be doing.
And who have Chelsea got?
Palace, I think it is.
Yeah,
Chelsea have got Palace at the Bridge.
I'd be very tempted to take Havertz out. Yeah, he's not started that well, has he? I mean, these players new to the Prem. We spoke, didn't we, about Timo Werner, and so far we have been right. He shouldn't have, should have waited on him.
Centre defensive mid Timo Werner.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's... I'm not one to start saying I told you so and I was right about this and I was right about that, but I was right about Werner. No, to be fair, I wasn't right about Werner. I just decided to wait and see, and that was just a tactic that has paid off. I decided to go with Danny Ings, tried and tested, so consistent. Whenever Southampton score, he's there or thereabouts, and he's proven it so far. It's same with Vardy, consistency, reliability. Vardy's been banging in the goals. Ings has been banging in the goals. Jimenez before this week has been getting the goals. It's the players that have done it. Kane's been getting points, hasn't he, as well? It's the players that have done it year in, year out for FPL. Ings only last year, of course, because he's been so injury prone, but they were the ones to go for at the start of the season, I think. You know, Werner may well come good, and I think he will. His quality's clearly there. And I completely see why people put him in, because they saw him in the Bundesliga. He was obviously top class there, and they thought he's going to bang. But you just hold off on those new players. You know, his price has dropped already, hasn't it? And everybody's shipping him out. I'd be keeping him right now, I think. Rather than
because you think he could. I mean, he had a chance, didn't he, in the game of the weekend? He had the crossbar.
He's had a few chances, and he won a penalty in that first game. He actually won a penalty in the second game, but it got chalked off. No, Jorginho missed it. Alisson saved it. Werner would have had an assist against Liverpool as well. You know, he was close to points. He doesn't look electrifying, but I think the goals will come.
Do you know why I said centre defensive mid Timo Werner, though? Yeah, did you watch the game?
No.
He was dropping deep, wasn't he?
He had over 50% ownership, don't forget, for game week one.
Mental.
I've just looked, and 356,000 people have transferred him out this week. So he's now on an ownership of 31% as we speak.
Flipping, eh?
But it was just one of those things where he kept dropping so deep, and I was you're looking for him and going, hang on a sec, right, Chelsea are making a break here. Where's Werner? Right, for some reason, he's still on the halfway line. And surely you want your striker poaching goals. And he was just, I don't know why he was falling back so much.
I mean, this is the thing that what Ancelotti's been saying to Calvert-Lewin, and he's, you know, I think he's like the top scorer in the Premier League at the moment, Calvert-Lewin, it's just stay between the goalposts. And you know, if you're dropping back to the halfway line, you're not going to get goals from there, are you? So it's very strange. And Werner's a man who's not struggled to score in the past, but
and of course he didn't start up front, did he? Tammy Abraham started up front, and so Werner was coming off the left. But obviously that's not made much difference to players like Salah and Mane and, you know, Sterling. Yeah. So you still expect him to be there or thereabouts. But yeah, it's not the most encouraging of signs. And I think Lampard's getting found out, isn't he? A little bit like Solskjaer, really. I think they're quite similar in that they're not quite at that top level, and I don't know whether they will be.
I mean, Frank looks like he's panicking a little bit. I mean, why would you all of a sudden bring it? All right, it's not gone right for the first few games, but you know, you've got a decent result like the week before and whatever. But you just got to persist. You got to say that play the same team in the same place over and over again, and then they get used to playing in the same place. And I don't know why he's changed it.
Well, that's exactly what they did last season, and we were talking about so much last season for putting young, hungry players in, and they were absolutely grinding out results last season. As soon as that budget came back, as soon as the transfer ban was lifted, they've brought in all these players. And actually, Mason Mount is the only one who I think has got his name on the team sheet starting every single week, isn't it, so far? Which is crazy. Yeah.
Let's be honest, it was only a matter of time that Chelsea went from being a likeable team to being the team that everybody disliked once again. And now they're back to being dislikable. It's nice, isn't it? Consistency.
I've never liked them.
They don't know who they're starting. Because, I mean, obviously, they brought in Thiago Silva and Chilwell. You've got James. James actually looked like their best player, I thought.
I mean, he got one bonus point, unbelievably.
He got a bonus point. Is that because he was putting in so many crosses?
I don't know.
Because he was whipping them in.
I don't know how they work it out.
Whipping them
in. If anyone can
defend, they get a bonus point when they've conceded three goals.
Yeah. If anyone can get in touch with us and explain that. I mean, it's similar to Alexander-Arnold tonight, I suppose, getting three bonus despite getting a yellow card and conceding a goal. I'm not sure how they work that out, but you know, with the choice of Reece James, I understand it because of the attacking possibility, but there's got to be a possibility of clean sheets as well, hasn't there? And there just isn't with Chelsea.
I'm going to give Werner one more week because there's so much chaos behind him, and actually I don't think it would have helped him out having I like Tammy, as you know. Did really well for Villa, was gutted when he went back to Chelsea. I don't think starting Tammy with Werner helped Chelsea out at all.
No. The only issue I have is they're playing Palace, who are always so, so well drilled and so well organised. Even with this like makeshift defence they've got at the moment, they were really difficult for Everton. Everton won 2-1, but it was a controversial penalty, which won it for us. It'll be very hard for Werner because he needs like space to run in behind and use his speed. But I don't think he'll really get the chance against Palace. I mean, I could be wrong, but just that's what I've seen so far this season from both sides.
I think speaking of chaos as well, it is chaos at the moment, football, isn't it? With all the handballs, the penalties, all these we've had like three pretty mad game weeks in a row. You're probably best off just as long as there's nobody injured in your team. I think this goes for everybody, really. Just hold, particularly if you've just played your wild card and that. Just hold. Fire, roll your transfer. I think there's an international break after this next game week anyway. So hold the transfer and go into game week 5 with two frees because we just can't predict it, can we? You're literally just going, I'll pick him. I think he might score this game week. And then they might get sent off or, you know, handball it or own goal. Like it's been crazy the last few game weeks. So I feel like everyone just needs to go, roll the transfer. It's all good.
Yeah. But man, I really want to get rid of Havertz. I can't stand him being in my team anymore.
You loved him before as well. I remember you going, I can't wait to have him in. He scored a hat-trick in the League Cup.
I know. I can't believe that. It was, unfortunately, against Barnsley. So, you know, I don't think they're coming to the Premier League anytime soon. All right, so let's move on to talking about defenders and defensive options. There's not been too many clean sheets in the Premier League this season because defenders, usually you think, all right, I want a defender who can get assists or goals, but predominantly it's clean sheets, right?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to look for... I have four fullbacks, five including Ben Johnson, who's not getting any minutes for West Ham, is perhaps the wrong 4 million choice from me. But the four defenders I've got are all fullbacks. So you've got that potential for assists, goals, and hopefully clean sheets. So TAA and Robbo so far, I mean, particularly this week, it's paid off massively for me having both of them. They both got a clean sheet last week. It was only game week one where I think Robbo got an assist and Trent got nothing, but they've pretty much delivered each week again so far. And I just love owning them. I think at their price, there isn't anybody better in any other position in the game because you've got that extra element. Just, I think with defenders, just play it simple and have those two. But clean sheets are a rarity at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, Liverpool do, I mean, obviously they've won every game so far, but they still look a bit wobbly at the back. Like, you know, Robertson made a mistake this evening, which led to Arsenal's goal. And I think Van Dijk made one on the opening game week, and I think TAA did one as well. So, you know, they do look a little bit wobbly at the back. And I'm thinking, because I've got two Liverpool defenders as well in TAA and Van Dijk, I'm thinking of bringing out Van Dijk this game week for Castagne at Leicester, because I really like the form that Leicester in at the moment, and he's just like marauding down that right-hand side.
Yeah, I think that could be a good move because he's got more attacking potential than Van Dijk. I know Van Dijk is there or thereabouts every time Liverpool have a corner, but you may be relying on clean sheets a little bit more with him than you are with your likes of Trent and Robbo. So wouldn't necessarily be against that move. Yeah. Have you got TAA, Ben, or not? Did you go without him?
No. Yeah, I've gone without TAA and Robbo. I've gone for quite a cheapish defence. I'm just looking. So I think clean sheets now. Don't even think about them. Having said that, I did have a little feeling that Villa were going to keep a clean sheet against Fulham. So Konsa and Martinez in goal did pay off for me on that front. But I'm just having a little look at who's kept clean sheets this weekend. And let's take Villa out of it, because only team in the Premier League to not have conceded a goal in 2021 so far. But let's take, Southampton. So clean sheet against Burnley. Tottenham put five past them last week. Leeds, clean sheet against Sheffield United. But Liverpool scored four past them. Okay, that's Liverpool. Then Fulham scored three past them. I'm currently looking at West Ham. Got a clean sheet. Obviously battered Wolves 4-0. But then Arsenal put two past them week before. Newcastle put two past them the week before that. There's only attacking returns now, aren't there, for defenders?
No, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, even like Burnley, who for like years have been like so, so solid. And like Sheffield United, who are one of the best defenders in the league last season, just they look hopeless. It's so bizarre. But again, it's great for like the entertainment value and that sort of thing. And yeah, I think if you go in FPL, like the majority of your players that you're picking in your defensive positions have got to be fullbacks just for the potential attack and return and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think out of all the centre-backs that you want to go for, I think Van Dijk's the only real standout, to be honest. And like you said, Lucas, because he pops up for corners. But, you know, Liverpool will probably have the best defence again this season, but I don't think they'll be the best defence by a long, long way. I don't think there'll be many clean sheets at all this season.
I honestly think that a kind of consistency of clean sheets will come back when fans come back.
Yeah, maybe.
Because if you think about the atmosphere of a ground, strikers, it's a dream, isn't it, not to have fans there? Because you can take pops and not get berated for missing a chance.
Don't get panicked either.
You can fly them in from everywhere. You know, as a defender, I think having the crowd behind you focuses you, sharpens you a little bit. I think everyone's a bit sloppier without fans. And what by sloppier I mean, they're just not as clinical. In the Liverpool game tonight, I think it was 15 minutes and they'd shown that Liverpool had already had six shots but only one was on target.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like there's a kind of a Sunday League element to the Premier League without fans being in the stadium.
Hey lads, if they do Sunday League FPL, I've got 2 in 3. by the way, and I play centre mid, so you know that's some good value right there if you want to get me in your Sunday League FPL.
That is, you're going straight in. Good. Should we do some Twitter questions before wrapping it up?
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
Great. So, Hrishikesh Barua. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but hello. Thanks for tweeting in. I asked on Twitter, how was your game week? And Hrishikesh has said, terrible. What about the Son situation? Should we replace or keep?
Replace. I think he's going to be injured for a short while. I was doing the Tottenham game for TalkSport, and Tottenham absolutely spanked Newcastle in that first half. I mean, Newcastle couldn't have played any worse in the second half. They sat back, they were playing 5-4-1, and they had Joe Linton at right mid. That's how defensive they were. But Son was the guy who was making things happen. He hit the woodwork twice, and he's the only player at Spurs who'll always run in behind. You know, he might be offside half the time, but he's always willing to run in behind, and that's what makes him such an exciting player. And Bergwijn just does not offer that at all. And yeah, it looks like he's going to be in a spot of trouble, Son, for the next week or so. So yeah, I'd take him out, but I wouldn't replace him with any Spurs players at all.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I agree with that. Replace Son. I think you have to, really, if he's injured, unless your bench is really strong and you want to hold on to him and there's other things you need to do. But yeah, it seems quite an obvious move to get rid of him. FPL El Stato says, should you just load up on penalty takers?
I was thinking this because we've seen so many, haven't we? And, you know, they might well go and change their mind on the handball rule throughout the season. It could well happen. Remember, was it the season before last where it was like any kind of shirt pull or any kind of nudge was a penalty and that sort of thing? It kind of feels like we're going round the merry-go-round again, but with handballs this time. So, you know, getting Kane, getting Richarlison, getting Fernandes, getting De Bruyne. You know, this is their time to shine from the penalty spot.
Just a quick stat, 3 weeks in and 20 penalties already.
What?
Wow.
That is
it's
insane.
That sloppiness. I promise. That's exactly what I mean. It's that slick. Because it's not all handballs.
No.
It's sloppiness at the back.
Yeah. Man City, looking at you. But yeah, I get in penalty takers. Like Jamie Vardy, hat-trick. And were they all? No, they weren't all penalties. Two were penalties, weren't they?
Yeah, Jamie Vardy scored 5 penalties so far.
It's insane, isn't it?
5.
That is
absolutely
mad.
Insane.
That is mad.
But yeah, I'd load up on penalty takers.
There you have it. At Daniel98, Daniel Mazdam, who's a bit of a friend of the podcast, he always interacts with us. 68 points overall, which is great. I think he's just responded to my how's your game week, really. He hasn't actually asked a question, but I'm going to address it. 68 points overall, which is great. Yeah, brilliant game week for you, Dan. Looks shocking for next few game weeks, though. Already dropped to 99.6 value. Should we worry about team value if our game weeks are going good?
I don't think so. Like, value doesn't necessarily mean points, does it?
No. No, I agree. I'm not too concerned about it this week, this season so far. I've had a good start. I think my team value is at 99.6 or 99.7 as well, but I've got 0.3 in the bank, so it's like 100 mil. I wouldn't worry too much about it, Daniel. If it's going well, you don't need to kind of panic. I mean, you know, Danny Ings went down in price. Wilson went down in price. They've both scored this week. They'll probably go back up in price. Just stick with the players that are scoring points. Cool. I think that's about us, isn't it?
Yeah, sweet. Who are you putting the big C on this game week coming? Have you thought about it yet? Or is it too early to call? We've literally just finished game week 3.
My initial thought, my plan was Sterling. So I'll more than likely stick with that. I think obviously Liverpool have got Villa, but Villa are a lot tighter at the back. I mean, Liverpool do look so good. I thought they were so good tonight against Arsenal. I know they were a bit dodgy at the back, but they're so, so good going forward. Jota came on and got his goal, and Salah's greedy as ever. Mane looks great. Obviously, we've spoken about the fullbacks. Like, they do look really good, but I think City against Leeds, you'd imagine City have got more chances to score than Liverpool have against Villa. What do you think, Rich?
I'd say so. I mean, I don't know whether it's because I'm really optimistic about Everton at the moment, but I'd usually go for Salah as the captain in this game week coming, because he's been my captain every week so far this season, and, you know, he's done well for me again this game week just gone. But I may move it on to Richarlison for Everton versus Brighton, because we have been in ridiculously good attacking form. And now I know he's on penalties as well, and there's a lot of penalties being given. At the moment, I'll put him down as my vice captain, but I may well move it onto his arm.
What about you, Mr. Background Ben?
I am putting the armband on Richarlison. with KDB as my vice captain. I fancy Everton, and you know what, Rich? I was gutted to see that Calvert-Lewin scored first.
I know, so was I. I was like, oh no, no one's ever going to listen to me again.
Because I really made some big changes, because obviously the difference in price, I made big sweeping changes to my defence so that I could put Richarlison up front instead of Calvert-Lewin. So when I saw that, I was like, god damn that, Rich. But yeah, luckily he got the penalty. But yeah, I think against Brighton at home, at Goodison.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be there.
I'll be there.
Doing all your social media coverage.
Rich, take the penalties. Take the penalties, Rich.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah, and I know there's lots and lots and lots of bad game weeks this week. Try and stay positive. Don't rip up your teams just yet, because like we've said, it's been a crazy game week. There's been lots of luck for certain players like myself. There's been lots of bad luck for other players like Ben. So take your time. It's all good.
Relax with triple captain. We should definitely release like a calming kind of 60 minutes of just like bird song for any stressed FPL managers who've had a bad week.
Or just 30 minutes of me going, just get Trent and Robbo in.
Trent and Robbo.
Trent to solve all of your problems. We are sponsored by TAA.
We're sponsored by Andy Robertson's new book. Have you seen that?
No.
they're all absolutely ripping him. Like every Liverpool player on their social media is ripping Robbo.
Has he got a book? Has he?
Even Kenny Dalglish. Yeah, no, it's about their year last year from Robbo's perspective. Kenny Dalglish has put a tweet out ripping Robbo.
That is brilliant.
That is the most Liverpool thing.
Anyway, we are Triple Captain. Subscribe, give us a rating.
Yes, subscribe. Subscribe.
Yeah. Unless you're Andy Robertson.
It was our year last year.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Over the Influence.
Hi, we're Sharon Hartley and Freddie Bennett from Over the Influence, the alcohol-free podcast.
Where we are in the UK and across the world, drinking is a deep-rooted part of our culture. We drink to celebrate, we drink to commiserate,
and we drink for just about every other excuse in between.
We're here to have an open conversation about our experiences with alcohol and reflect honestly on how living without it has changed our lives.
So if you've ever thought about going alcohol-free, or whether you're just sober curious, our podcast is here to support you on your dry journey.
Over the Influence from Sound Rebel.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.